Hello. Good morning. Well, welcome to Family Sunday. I'm excited to be here with you. Family Sunday is every fifth Sunday. If there's a fifth Sunday in a month, it's Family Sunday for us. We have about four every year. This year, we're focusing on what we do and why we do what we do when we meet together. We're calling it When We Gather. I've had a chance in my lifetime to travel over the years through parts of Europe and parts of the Middle East, and I don't know if it's my liberal arts education or what, but one of the things that's always captured my attention is the art of places, the artwork. Some of it's hundreds of years old, and some of it way older than that. I love the grand scenes of battles and kings and history. I love mosaics, how people spend their whole lives doing one mosaic, and it is gorgeous. I especially love depictions of Bible stories. But the paintings that seem to stay with me, the art pieces that seem to stay with me, are the ones who show the Last Supper or represent communion. There's something powerful about seeing artists from different centuries and different cultures all trying to capture that exact same moment. Whether it's in a painting or a mosaic or a bronze relief, Jesus at the table, some bread, a cup, friends gathered together. But when you really think about it, this wasn't actually a comfortable meal. This was not a lighthearted dinner. Jesus had just told them that one of the men sitting there with him was about to betray him. He knew what was coming. He knew the cross was right around the corner. And in that moment, he gave them something that they could carry with them for the rest of their lives. He broke bread, told them it was his body. He shared the cup and told them that it was his blood. He was giving them a way to remember, a way to stay grounded in what he was about to do. 1 Corinthians says this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Communion became a tangible reminder. Not just an idea, not just a story passed down, something real, something you can hold in your hands, something you can taste, something that points you back to the sacrifice of Jesus and points you forward to that promise that he's coming again. A few years ago, Jenny and I were in Athens. And one afternoon, we made the climb up this windy hill. It was crowded just like tourists like us. And I was like, why are all these tourists here? As though I belong in Athens. And by the time I got to the top of this hill, I was tired and the wind was so strong. It was cold. The wind was strong. We had to lean in to be able to talk to each other, to hear each other talk. But the view was incredible. You could see the city spread out in front of you, the Parthenon standing behind you. It was a reminder of the ancient world. But what really got my attention wasn't the view. It was where we were sitting and what we were doing. We pulled out our Bible and we started reading from the book of Acts out loud, louder than I intended because the wind is blowing really hard. Sitting there amongst the rubble and the remnants of gods that most people don't even think about anymore, we were on Mars Hill. A place where people once gathered to debate ideas, propose new philosophies. A place where the Apostle Paul stood and told the people about Jesus and the resurrection. As best as anyone can tell, we were sitting very close to where that moment happened. And I'll be honest, it wasn't just the wind that gave me chills. There was something powerful about being connected to a real part of a real place, of a real story that God had been writing for centuries. It wasn't just history on a page anymore. It was tangible. It was personal. And I think that's what communion is meant to do for us. Because if we're not careful, communion can just turn into something that we do without really thinking about it. We line up. We take the bread. We take the cup. Head back to our seats. And sometimes, if we're honest, it can start to feel like, well, this is just what we do. And if you've ever felt that way, you're not alone. I'm a parent. Most of you have met my son, so let me tell you, I have heard the question why more times than I can count. Why do we have to do this? Why can't we do that? Why now? Why later? I wish I could say, I really wish I could say that I have every time give a very thoughtful, patient answer. And sometimes the reason my response is just because this is what we do. And the funny thing is, personally, I'm not satisfied with that type of an answer. Arbitrary rules or traditions that I don't understand don't sit well with me. I want to know the reason. I want to understand the meaning. And as a church, I want to make sure that we have those answers when it comes to communion. What is it? Why do we do it? What's supposed to be happening? So let's dive into it. What is communion? At the most basic level, communion is one of the two ordinances that Jesus gave to the church. The other's baptism. Jesus established communion on the night he was betrayed while he was sharing a meal with his disciples. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples. Communion is a symbol. The bread represents his body. The cup represents his blood. It's a way for us to give thanks for what he's done. It's also the way that God strengthens us and encourages us as we follow him. So why take communion? Well, the answer that no one really likes is because Jesus said so. We take communion because Jesus told us to. And he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. That's the reason we played the memory game in the welcome time. What time are our Easter services? What time is our Good Friday services? When's the man's retreat? For more than 1,000 years, more than 2,000 years, believers all over the world have gathered together and done exactly that. Different languages, different cultures, different styles of churches, but the same simple act. Bread, cup, remembrance. But communion's not just about remembering something from the past. Something also happens to us in the present. When we take communion in faith, we're being reminded of the promises of Jesus. We're being reminded that our sins are forgiven. We're being reminded that he's present in us and with us. And we're reminded he's the one that nourishes our souls. He's the one that gives us strength to keep going. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger." That means communion's not just empty. It's not a routine. It's one of the ways God encourages his people on the long journey of faith. So what should we be doing during communion? We got the what, we got the why. What should we be doing during communion? A simple way to look at this is to look in four different directions, okay? Communion reminds us, first we got to look that communion reminds us of the cross, all right? It reminds us that Jesus willingly laid his life down for our sins. We remember the cost of our salvation. Second, we look inward. Scripture tells us to examine ourselves. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Communion is a moment to be honest with God. It's a moment to slow down. Let him search your heart, confess your sins, lay things down that you've been holding on to ask for forgiveness, to receive his grace again with humility and gratitude. When I was a youth pastor, we took a group of students to a conference. And at one point during the weekend, all 4,000, yes, students and adults had gathered together to take communion. But before we did, the speaker said something that stuck with me. He told everyone, teens and adults included, if there's someone in your life you need to reconcile with, if there is a relationship that is broken or strained, don't just sit there and go through the motions of taking communion. Step out of the service. Call them. Text them. Take a step toward making it right before you come to the table. And I had one kid come up to me with tears in his eyes. He had a really difficult relationship with the man that used to be his stepdad. But for all practical purposes, this man raised him, and then when his parents got divorced, he never saw the man again. And he said, "Can I go out in the hall and call him?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead." And he stepped out in the hall and he made that call. Now, one phone call didn't magically fix everything. All right? It didn't suddenly make that relationship perfect. But it did do something important. It helped him let go of something that had been heavy on his heart. It helped him take a step toward being who God was calling him to be. And I remember being so proud of him because it took courage. And that's what it looks like to look in. It's not about fixing every relationship before you take communion. It's not about cleaning up yourself so that you can present yourself to God. It's about being honest with God. It's saying, "God, here I am, and this is what I'm carrying, and here's where I've fallen short," and trusting that when you bring that to him, he meets you with grace. Third, you got to look around. Communion is not just a private moment. It is something we do together as a church. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. When we take communion, we are reminded that we belong to each other. We are called to unity, that our faith is personal, but it's never meant to be isolated. Finally, we look forward. Jesus spoke about a future meal, a day when he will gather his people from every tribe and every nation and celebrate the final victory of God's kingdom. "I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Communion gives us hope. It reminds us that this story is not finished. So how does communion impact our lives? Don't be upset. Communion doesn't make you a Christian. All right? Taking communion doesn't make someone a Christian. Only faith in Jesus does that. For some people, it's just a snack that is disappointingly minute. All right? But communion done correctly strengthens Christians. It nourishes us. It refocuses us. It calls us back when we drift. It encourages us when we're tired. Following Jesus is a long road. And God knows we need reminders along the way. He knows we need moments that ground us in truth. So in a few minutes, we're going to take communion. And when you take the bread, when you drink the cup, don't just go through the motions. Remember what Jesus has done. Be honest with what's going on in your heart. Look at the people around you and thank God for the family he's given you. And lift your eyes up in hope. Because communion is not just something we do. It's a reminder that Jesus has done something for us, and it is still at work in us today. There are three stations around the room, two here and one in the middle in the back. And there will be people who will present you with communion. If you need gluten-free bread, it'll be at that back station available if that's what you need. So when you're ready, get up and take it. And you may want to take it and then come back and think about these four things. You may want to think about these four things and then get communion. One, communion three, communion one. I don't care what order you do it in, but this is what is called of us, what we are called to do during communion. What you do during communion is between you and God. But take some time. Do it as Jesus intended this morning. This do in remembrance of me.